sends him in. The Irish whip. Oh, nobody there. Simmons moves. He's got it cradled. A feather too strong. He powered out. Simmons goes to the ropes. They get some leverage. And Val Vader dropped it all. All 4:48 right on the chest of Ron Simmons. All the air rushes out of the challenger's body. The champion back up. Back in control is Big Van Vader. In this hard hitting battle for the heavyweight championship of the world. Vader now in control. Going for a waistlock. And Vader's got him up. Boy, went over his back. Got agility by Simmons. And Simmons, he got him in a power slam. He got him in a power slam. He got it. Simmons got it. Simmons has won the match. Simmons is a champion. Simmons has won the world title.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment. Sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Yo, what's up, kids? Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you very much. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, really appreciate that. But there's more ways you could support us and help us out. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. The more reviews we get, the better we get as a crew. More listeners means more fun, means more stuff to do, all right? Simple as that. Go to rantemradio.com, go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, and go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our other content, back content, other shows that we support. It's all there. Go get it. It's all for you. You want to buy a t-shirt? Please buy a t-shirt. It supports us. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckletheathromax and get one of four designs. You won't be disappointed. They're pretty fresh to death. More importantly, thank you so much for supporting Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We appreciate it. We love you all. Peace out.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm going to end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion and WWE Hall of Famer. And you, monkeys, well, you're listening to Rhea and Choppy on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bang!
Yeah, man. What's up, everybody?
Guns a-blazing. Oops. Wrong terminology. Especially for the week we've had.
Don't get me started.
Oof.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. It's Friday. What is it, the 23rd now?
Let me check. The
month is almost over.
It is the 23rd, sir.
All right. I am the Impact player, Mr. Philly Ray, and I'm joined by...
the man they call Choppy Fuckfaces.
Wow.
Love you guys.
That's wow.
Okay, terrific.
All right, and we're live.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We are live.
We are live on Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network. As always, as I rock Judas Priest in the background.
That's a good fucking song, by the way.
Can I admit something to you? Well, please. I think I said it on the show before when Scott was on the air. I forget. But I didn't know Rob Halford was gay. Till I was an adult.
You told me that. Yeah.
I told you.
You shocked me when you told me that.
Yeah, like, he's like, he lives in Arizona, and they have like the Pride Parade, and he's like the fucking Grand Marshal. He was gay the entire time. I didn't even know.
Holy shit.
When I was a kid, I thought leather and chaps were the fucking thing in heavy metal, you know? It was like the British Wave and all that.
Correct.
There's nothing wrong with him being gay. I'm just, you know, not used to him. It's... Rob fucking Halford, you know what I'm saying? He's predominant in metal, you know what I'm saying? He's synonymous with metal, you know?
I know we're talking about metal right now, but like, who's to say that fucking Mick Jagger didn't take it in the butt?
I'm sure he did, but like, when you think of heavy metal, you don't think of homosexuality.
I know. I understand.
So when I found out, I was shocked. I was like, holy, I didn't know.
Well, I was shocked too when you told me. I was like, no, you're kidding me, right? And you were like, no, it's legit. I was like, what?
Yeah. I was shocked, but I love them. They got a new album out. They're touring.
When did he come out though?
I don't even know.
It had to be the 90s.
Had to be in the 90s.
Yeah, because I didn't know that either.
But he's a very private dude. Like, he's not, you know.
That's fine.
Yeah, no, he's a very private dude. It's surreal, actually. Just, to, you know, but anyway, Rob Halford is Judas fucking Priest. You could say he likes his Judas and his Priest.
Ring that bell.
Oh, boy.
That was great, Mongo, by the way.
Okay, terrific.
Hello, Mongo, Shaylin, everybody else is in the chat room. Hello, how are
you? Hey, Turnbuckle Throwbacks is in the room, too.
Those fucking clowns. I hate those guys.
I love the anonymous people.
All the anonymous people. We know we have people listening because we had a lot of downloads lately, so God bless. Has been you, man. I haven't seen you. No, nothing.
Just Harlem, you know.
Just Harlem, that's right.
I was in Harlem, that's right.
That's right. Did you get some weed?
No, it smelled like weed.
Oh, of course it did.
I was in...
That's not mine, it's Chelsea's. That's not mine.
I was on Frederick Douglass and 125th today.
Harlem World.
Oh, it was fantastic.
You and P. Diddy World.
I loved it.
Harlem's dope. Harlem, it's in a renaissance.
I know.
Yeah.
I miss the ratchetness.
No, you don't.
I love it.
You're too young to even know. But like, I was telling somebody the other day, I want to give a shout out to my man Pete. It was actually my wife's friend Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Pete owns a very popular restaurant in Red Hook, Brooklyn called Hope and Anchor.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
They're closing this weekend.
Why?
The rent is too high, and Pete has to close. So we had brunch there last week, and Pete's in good spirits. You know, he's like, well, you know, it's what it is. And I'm like, listen, Pete, I love you, dude. And I feel bad because you're very, very
popular in this
super
area. He's super. But anyway, Pete's a good dude. Like, he's very talented and, you know, all that. He has many, many talents, Pete, on top of him being an owner.
Many talents.
He is. He's the best. And I felt bad. We went there for brunch last week.
Okay.
And it was, like, amazing. And the food there is so good. So that's where my wife is going tonight. So they're having, like, the last karaoke, you know. So, anyway, I was telling Pete, I was like, yo, when I was a kid, right, you couldn't go to Red Hook.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Or walk the streets there unless you knew somebody.
Ask Taz. He'll tell you.
Yeah. He's on Jericho's podcast this week.
Is he really?
Yeah, I downloaded it. I listened to it, yep. But yeah, you had to know somebody to like hang out down there, walk down there. Now it's all hipsters and fucking coffee shops and thrift stores.
It depends on the area of Harlem, because I'm with the area that I was in.
I'm talking about Red Hook, but now Harlem is getting to be the same thing. So that was my whole point.
Yeah. You know, Red Hook is fucking hipster central no matter what.
Yeah.
But like with Harlem though, you still have your areas where, you know, you look at Harlem and like, shit, they still have cops in this area that just to make sure that people don't get rowdy or whatever. Because let's be realistic, people. I mean, I was on the street that I was on. I was on Frederick Douglass Street or Ave, whatever the fuck it's called. And let's keep in mind, I'm very white. You could point me out right there, and you'd be like, "Holy shit, there's a white guy in this black neighborhood." There you go. And I don't give a fuck because I'm from Newark, so it doesn't matter to me. It is what it is. And you know, and then I noticed there's another white person, and you're like, shit, there's a lot of white people in this area.
Yeah, and that started in the 90s when Bill Clinton, after his presidency.
Fuck Bill Clinton.
That's not right.
Fuck him.
He'll be on the Black Achiever Awards, actually.
Good for him.
On the black carpet, hosted by yours truly.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But yeah, when he was done with him, you know, being president, he opened up like an office up there.
I know.
And that once that happened, it started like a chain reaction.
Correct.
Crazy. All these neighborhoods in New York are getting gentrified. All of them.
Like, yeah. Even like I was in Mount Vernon, which is a shitty area, is getting gentrified now.
Yeah, Mount Vernon and Yonkers, parts of Yonkers, it's like the Bronx with trees.
Correct.
Right? But even like, where was I recently that I was like, holy shit, man, this is like gentrified over here too. They have, where was I? Williamsburg is already done. Bushwick is done. Where was I that I was just we were talking about?
East New York.
Was it East New York? It might have been. I forget where I was.
It's either East New York or it's Brownsville. One or the other.
I forget where I was, but I was like, wow, it's crazy. Because when I was a kid, you had to know somebody to go down there and fight for your sneakers on a train. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Insane.
Mongo, I did not see Harlem Heat because I was on 125th Street, and they're on 110th Street, so sorry, buddy, I did not see them there.
And plus, they're from Houston, Texas.
Correct.
Anyway, moving right along. So, yeah, short work week, had Monday off.
God bless you.
I took Monday off. It was President's Day. It was my wedding anniversary.
Fuck it.
Yeah. He said, fuck it.
Fuck it.
How was Harold's, by the way?
You missed a meal, bro.
I know. I couldn't make it, dude.
She said, call up Choppy and see if he wants to come with us.
I couldn't make it, dude. I'm sorry.
No, don't do it. There'll be other times. We're going to go back.
Truly awe-inspiring, I'm assuming.
Yeah. We went to Harold's for our anniversary. And anybody who doesn't know what Harold's is, we spoke about it on the air before, I think. It's a Jewish delicatessen restaurant in Edison, New Jersey. It's a New York-style deli. Like the Cats or Carnegie, one of those, Ben's Best in Queens. But the thing is, with Harold's, their portions are not just one person. It's like a family style. So basically, one sandwich can feed 4 to 6 people.
Or like 20 people sometimes.
Well, it depends on how many slices of...
Dude, you know. It's a lot of fucking food, man.
I had food for 2 days, man. We had roast beef and pastrami and fucking corned beef.
I ordered an omelet one time. It lasted me 5 days. Yeah. It's so fucking big.
There's a pickle bar, right?
Yes, I know.
So
yeah.
Michael takes a plate. He goes to the pickle bar. He took every fucking pickle they had and just stacked them in a big plate. And
he ate them all.
Yeah, he wanted matzo ball soup, right? The matzo ball soup was like $25. And she's like, you're not getting matzo ball soup because it's not just a bowl of soup. It's a fucking kettle. You know, it's a kettle of soup. So we got him a chicken noodle soup, right? So he takes the crackers and he goes, look, I'm making my own matzos. And he's throwing crackers in the top of the soup. So, yeah, her best friend and her husband came with us. So we made a night of it. It was cool. I bought a button. They have buttons now, so I eat almost everything at Harold's, which is never the case because you'll never eat almost everything.
No, it's impossible.
Even when I was when I had my other stomach and I was bigger, I don't think I can eat that much either. But it was massively amount. Their French fries are dope. Love their French fries.
I can eat a lot, but I can't eat for that much food.
No, because at that point, your eyes are bigger than your stomach.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's a thing, you know?
I remember the one last time I went there, I went in there super hungry. Really, really hungry, honest to God. As soon as I ordered my food, I got intimidated and I just lost all appetite. I was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
It's a lot of food, guys.
Insanity.
Shaylin, since you're in Staten Island, you might as well just go over the Outer Bridge and go check that place out, because that place is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely do it. We sent Rob there, last year. Rob went there.
What do you think?
I think he loved it. We got to go as a crew, though. If we go as a crew and get, two sandwiches, we'll be fine.
Oh, of course.
We'll knock that out in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
Especially with the way those animals eat, you know?
Oh, no, they don't eat like
animals. I was thinking about, it's a little pricey. Because we're not cooking for WrestleMania this year. We decide we're not cooking for WrestleMania.
That's fine.
So we're probably just going to cater and whatever you guys want to bring. That's whatever, fine. Right? So check this out. I was thinking calling Harold's, see how much they cost to cater. Right? It's probably a little pricey. If not, we're just going to get a sandwich or whatever, like a 6-foot hero or something. Yeah. But anyway, neither here or there. That's a couple of months away. What else is going on this week? Nothing really much. I didn't do a lot of wrestling this week. I read a lot about wrestling, though.
I did watch a lot of wrestling this week. I did.
I want to hear about it.
Dude, Monday Night Raw was unfucking believable.
Yeah, Matt Squires posted a question on the Facha de Libre page, asking about, you know what?
I pull it up right now. Yeah. I read it.
Why don't you read it, because it pertains to Raw. I didn't see Raw. Correct. I have it taped. I know it was there was a...
It pissed me. You know what pissed me off? I saw it on Hulu, and I was really pissed, though. And I'll tell you why. A lot of the match was cut off because Hulu was only an hour and a half, I believe, 90 minutes.
Correct.
So most of the match got cut off. So if they had played the whole match, that would have been the whole Hulu episode right there, and you would have lost the rest of Raw. Which the rest of Raw, I didn't give a shit about anyways, but it was just a match that I cared about. But, yeah, let me see. Hold on. I got to look it up real quick. I had it before. It was super. It was a super question, actually.
It was a super question.
I think. Oh, here it is. Is it here? Fuck you. No, it's not that.
You got it or no?
Almost there.
I'll pull it up. It's no big deal.
I'll pull it out. Don't worry about it.
Oh. Okay, terrific.
Okay, here we go. All right, Matt Squires. With Broadway's being somewhat of a common thing in the past, what do you think of all the hoopla that was made on the long match that was on Monday, and should there be more of them?
That sounds like a choppy question, because you watched that. I didn't watch it.
It depends on the guys that are involved in the match. It really depends on the guys, because if you don't have the right talent in the match, you can't keep my interest after a while. For example, the Iron Man match, which was a 60-minute match, with the first one, which was with Bret and Shawn. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. Do I think it's the greatest Iron Man match of all time? No. I've seen better. I thought the Kurt Angle-Brock Lesnar match that they had on SmackDown for an hour was way better than that. And then I've also seen, I also thought Triple H versus The Rock in that Iron Man match in 2000 was even better than that. But do I think it's should it be used more often on a Monday Night Raw? Like I said, depends on the talent. Did you see the caliber of talent that they had in that Gauntlet match? You had first Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns. You had Seth Rollins versus John Cena. Then you had Seth Rollins versus Elias. And then it was Elias versus Finn. Finn versus Miz. Miz versus Braun. Braun being the last guy and being the sole survivor of the Gauntlet match.
Okay.
The match lasted, I believe, 100 minutes, which was an hour?
An hour and 40 minutes?
40 minutes. It was an hour and 40 minutes, the whole match. And that's not including the, I don't know if it includes the commercials at all. I'm sure it does, if you think about it, because the match is still going on while they go on commercials. But I must say that Seth Rollins is probably, with the performance that he had on Monday, is probably the best talent on Monday Night Raw right now. Mm. It's, you know, the guy pulled out a fantastic performance with both with John Cena, Roman Reigns, and Elias. He was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And if you got a chance, watch the match. It's really good.
No, I'm going to watch it tonight when you go home because I have a tape.
Gotcha.
So I'll watch that one.
Yeah, but don't watch the Hulu version.
No, I have the one on. I have the one from on DVR.
Oh, good, good. Watch that. It's really good.
Yeah. I do.
But if I to answer, like I said, Matt, like I said, it just depends on the talent in the ring.
You know, I didn't see a lot of Broadways on regular TV.
Okay,
that was a little before my time. So the ones I saw were kind of special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Rude and Flair, and there's a bunch of Flair had a few. Rick Rude had some. Ricky Steamboat.
I know Flair and Steamboat did. I don't know. Rude did?
Rude had one, I think, with Sting or something. The Iron Man match.
I thought it was the Iron Man match was with Steamboat for 30 minutes.
Was it 30 minutes or 60 minutes?
It was only 30 minutes with Steamboat.
Oh, so, I mean, I saw that one. I mean, there's a bunch of them, and the ones you just rattled off in the 90s and 2000s. I mean, I think they made a big deal about it because it's part of the pay-per-view on Sunday, and we'll review that. I don't know. Maybe.
You just named off a who's who list right there. Flair, Steamboat, Rude. Again, it depends on the talent. If the talent can keep my interest in it, absolutely. How many one-hour Broadways did Flair have? He had them with Barry Windham.
Dusty.
Sting.
Yeah.
Probably Funk.
Probably Harley Race.
Harley, he did.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on the talent. That's it.
Absolutely.
Some guys can't keep your interest for a whole hour. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, at that point, because you really can't base it on anything else but the performance.
Correct.
Like, they can cut the promos all they want. Now you have to go in there and wrestle for an hour.
Could you imagine having the Warrior wrestle for an hour?
No.
Fuck that.
No.
Goldberg for an hour?
No, absolutely not.
No, Kevin Nash for an hour? No. Sorry. I like Kevin Nash, but he's not an hour guy. Just not happening.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Jericho should do an hour match. He's never done an hour match, I believe.
He might have, but...
Not what we've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've all done it. You know, they'll tell you, I wrestled in a small gymnasium in Mexico. I wrestled, you know, so-and-so. I was like, all right, whatever.
So, on Raw, they stated that Seth Rollins had the longest performance... On a
Monday Night Raw,
which is 65 minutes, he did.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, he even beat Rey Mysterio's record at the Royal Rumble, which I believe is 62 minutes. Mongo said Nathan Jones and Ahmed Johnson in Broadway would be gold. Jesus Christ, it would not be gold.
It'd be gold plated.
And they had a lot of gold plated shit in Harlem today.
You want to go over the card for Elimination Chamber?
Sure.
Some predictions?
Rattle it off.
All right. The kickoff match is Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson versus the Miztourage.
The club is going to win that.
Yeah.
The Good Brothers are definitely going to win that one.
Yeah, I'll take them too. Let's see. Cesaro and Sheamus versus Titus Worldwide.
That's tough. And I'll tell you why it's tough. Because Titus Worldwide has three solid wins against them.
So last night, Mikey breaks out some wrestlers, figures that he hasn't had here. He had them at his dad's house. He's got Ron Simmons in the APA.
I just saw him.
Right? Now, of course, I played Ron Simmons winning the title, which is our conclusion of Black History Month. But I put him and... Then he pulled out Apollo Crews. The height difference.
It's different.
In these two action figures was amazing. I can't get behind anything Titus O'Neil does in the ring. Outside the ring, he's awesome. That whole worldwide thing, it reminds me of a funnier York Foundation, you know?
Especially with, what's her name?
Yeah, Dana Brooke.
As Alexandra York?
I think she, you know what? I'm going to get some shit for this, but I find her attractive. She's got that muscle thing going for
her. She's not an ugly girl.
I mean, she's got a little bit of that plastic in the face now. But
she does a lot of that lip injection shit that I don't care for
too much. But she can, you know, if she just stays the way she is and doesn't get anything else done to her, she can get it.
I guess I'm gonna go with the Bar. The Bar is my team.
I'm gonna take the Bar. I like that's the Bar. You've been on it bandwagon for a minute.
Yeah, I like the Bar. And I've never been a big Sheamus guy, but he's really piqued my interest with this tag team.
This is Woken Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt.
I'm so over this fucking feud already. And what are they doing with this feud?
And you know what? It didn't resonate. The Woken Broken shit did not resonate from TNA.
No, you want to know why? Because it's not Matt Hardy doing the fucking skits. It's being written for him.
That's what you think it is?
Yeah, man. Like, why didn't they... First off, he just acquired the rights to use Vanguard 1, Senor Benjamin.
And hasn't utilized any of it, right?
He hasn't utilized any of it. And now when Jeff comes back from injury, he's going to be Brother Nero.
They're calling it the mystical struggle.
Oh, it's been... you know what? I know Matt Hardy has lost every single match with Bray. I think Matt Hardy's going to win this.
I'm going to just take Bray Wyatt because you took Matt Hardy.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You come over and watch it if you want. On Sunday, we're going to watch it.
Oh, that's right. It is Sunday, isn't it?
You guys should come over.
Okay.
And we'll watch it together with the family.
I can't. I'm working Sunday because they got me. I got to work on Billions on Sunday. I got to do 12 hours that day.
Oh, you're working?
Yeah, they're making me work.
Okay.
I got to do a favor for a friend.
Oh, look at that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm feeling it. All right, make that money, kid.
Yeah, sorry, dude.
You're not missing anything. Then you're going to get Ronda Rousey's contract signing?
Who's going to win that one? Let me see.
Ronda already won. They're probably giving her a gazillion dollars.
Fuck Ronda.
I like her.
Fuck her.
I think she's cute.
Fuck her.
I'd love to.
Fuck her then.
Repeatedly.
Fucking see you next Tuesday.
Asuka versus Nia Jax.
Ooh, this is hot. This is gonna be tough, dude. Because here's the stipulation, guys. If Nia Jax beats Asuka, they make the match at WrestleMania a triple threat for the women's title.
So Nia Jax has to win.
Oh, I think Nia's gonna win it, bro. I think that's the end of Asuka's. It would have meant more if Asuka won the belt and then have someone beat her for the belt, because it would have beaten Asuka's streak and you would have got the title at the same time. That would have meant more. But now I feel like Nia is going to win this match and be in the match, make it a triple threat at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Nia, dude.
And it's about time they give her a rub, you know?
I would like to give her a rub.
I want to rub one out on her, yeah. But she's a beast, man.
She's awesome.
She's a beast.
She's gotten really good in the ring.
Yeah, I agree.
And she's very nice to the eyes. I'm sorry. She's
a good-looking broad.
She's not ugly at all. She's a really good-looking girl.
I agree. I like a bigger girl anyway.
Was it more cushion for the pushing?
Yeah, more bounce to the ounce.
Was it more emotion in the ocean?
There you go.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of them. Let's see. Ah, here we go. First ever women's elimination chamber match. God. Mickie James, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Sasha Banks, Bayley, and you just fought into the microphone.
That's what I say to that match.
You fought into my microphone? You fucking
you sick.
He just stood up. Put his ass to the microphone and fought it into it.
That's what I think about that match.
Oh, man. Bastard.
Fuck that match.
Will you stop?
Who wins? Do you care? We got to pick a winner because people don't.
My gas wins. How about that?
Your asshole just fucking fumigated my
Look, Jaylee said, wow, choppy.
Yeah, because they're on a delay. They're just hearing a fart now.
I have no problems with women wrestling. I don't. But if this match is the main event at Elimination Chamber, WWE...
No, they're not making this the main event.
...can teabag me for all I fucking care.
No, they're not making this the main event.
It better not be.
No, it won't be the main event. They're not going to fuck it up like they fucked up the Rumble.
Oh my God, the Rumble sucked. The placement of the matches were so weird, man.
Who wins the women's match? We have to pick a winner.
Alexa Bliss. You think she's going to drop the belt? No.
All right, I'm going to take Sasha Banks.
You think she's going to win?
Yeah.
You think Sasha's going to win?
I think so.
Why?
I don't know. I just think...
I think the heel turn's coming.
Yeah. I think that's probably what's going to put it over.
The heel turn's definitely coming.
So we need, like, a heel. Well, Well, Alexa is the heel.
Is Alexa really a heel, though, anymore?
Yeah, well,
kind of, sort of.
In essence, yeah. She's
in between
now. She's a tweener, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Next.
Next is the 7-man elimination chamber. Finn Balor, Elias, Braun Strowman, John Cena, Roman Reigns. Shout out to Carlos, by the way, for the t-shirt.
Thanks, Carlos.
Seth Rollins and The Miz. The winner gets Brock Lesnar for the Universal title on Sunday, April 8th.
In a perfect world, I would have Braun win this.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
You picking Braun to win?
No.
Okay. Who are you picking?
I'm picking Roman Reigns.
You're picking Roman Reigns.
In a perfect world, I would have picked Braun. And I'll tell you why. He has lost singles match against Brock. He has lost a triple threat match against Brock. And you put this man through all this hoopla, you know, all these fucking loops and hurdles just for him to get to Brock Lesnar. He should win this match to go up against Brock Lesnar. In a perfect world, I would have picked Braun, but I think it's going to be Roman.
Okay.
What do you think?
I want to agree with you,
mm-hmm.
but I'm picking Finn Balor.
Really? That's a dark horse, dude.
If Finn Balor wins, it's the classic
David
versus Goliath. That's A, okay? B, it gives now Finn Balor retribution for losing the title last year after winning it for one day. You know what I'm saying? Now you give him that push that he fucking deserves.
Was it last year?
Well, he did it before one of them. But he deserves it, okay? Now what you're saying about Roman Reigns makes perfect sense. However, now we're getting a call from Mega Powers. Hold on. We'll continue this in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the line is our main man, our social media content expert, Mr. David Mega Powers. How are you, sir?
What's going on, players?
My brother from another mother. How you doing, my friend?
What up, D?
You know, I'm doing good. I'm getting ready for the Black Achievers. You know, first ever Black Underachievers as well. I got I got some Ripple, you know, cooling on some ice. Got some Donny Hathaway playing in the back. No, I'm getting ready. I'm in.
That's awesome.
What's the start time on the 28th, Dave? I believe it's 8:00. If it's 8:00, you're going to get a 30-minute black carpet pre-show hosted by yours truly. We got some musical guests. I'm not even going to reveal them to be a surprise. And we got some special guests that are going to be joining me on the black carpet. We're going to have some protesters, apparently, from what I'm hearing.
Yes, sir, for most likely.
Oh, yeah, but you might get the unsigned majority protesting, too.
Why is she protesting?
She thinks that this is culturally insensitive that we're doing this.
Oh,
come on.
Jesus fucking Christ. She's one of those fucking bleeding hot liberals.
You know, I'm like the only white guy that's on the show. Does she know that?
I think she's, you know what, she's fully aware that this is our third Black Achiever Awards or the fourth?
This is our fourth. A lot of people want to forget the third one, but this is going to be the fourth one.
Hosted by David Mega Powers and Tony C, a.k.a. Black Hammer and White Lightning.
Yeah.
Rant EM Radio is highest rated. One of the highest rated shows ever is the Black Achiever Awards.
Wow. It's also the blackest night.
It is the blackest night.
Of Rant EM Radio.
What's different this year, Dave? You guys got to do anything different, or are you just gonna, you and Tony C gonna spit some venom, and that's pretty much it?
Well, you know, every Black Achievers is unique in and of itself. So, last year, I think they only did like two awards. I kind of want to equate last year's Black Achievers to like the second Clash. Nobody wants to like care or remember that there was another version of the Clash. So, they did like two awards last year. So we're going to go back to our old format. We're not going to be talking about TV for 2 hours. It's going to be focused on wrestling, black wrestlers. And, we're going to kick it old school with a few twists. But you got to tune in on the 28th, the last day of February, to find out what we're going to do.
Which is the true conclusion to Black History Month on Rant EM Radio.
Yeah, you know, we got to go out with a bang on the last day.
I agree.
You know, everybody's, you know, watching Black Panther and all that shit, but, you know, we gotta bring it back to our roots, and that's the Black Achiever Award.
The roots. He said the roots.
Yeah, you know, this is, you know, when Black History Month comes around, everybody's like, I can't wait for the...
Choppy's hysterical laughing. Anyway,
I'm sorry, kid.
He's red in the face, dude.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you know Choppy is, you know, spitting out his anaconda malt liquor. We can't have that.
Okay, terrific.
Oh man,
just don't be spilling the good stuff on the 28th, Choppy. All right,
you got it, brother. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll definitely be tuning in. I'll probably have to call in like I normally do.
It's fine, you know, if what's her name again? The unsilent majority.
Yeah,
she
wants
to call in and try to protest. You know, she could do that.
Yeah, she definitely will, probably. She definitely will.
You know, everything's going to be all right. You know, it's a multicultural, you know, celebration of Black wrestling history.
It's a happening, Mega Palace.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a happening. I'm all for it, man. You know, I'm a big fan. I'm a huge supporter.
Absolutely. So I think you're gonna need to have a sit down with your
with my significant other,
good lady friend,
my lady friend,
and you know, do the PowerPoint presentation to let her know what's going down.
Listen,
on the 28th.
You got to go Ike Turner on her now.
Yeah, oh. with you
spare checker.
Oh man. All right, well, listen, Dave, while we got you on the phone, man, I want to pick your brain with some New Japan stuff.
Okay.
I'm feeling a direction they're going. I like the Bullet Club imploding. All the stuff is coming to the States next month. The dojo is open.
Mm-hmm.
I know Evil got hurt, so that puts a fucking damper on some of what's going on with them. What has been your mindset? What are you enjoying? What are you not enjoying? What are you looking forward to?
You know, I actually have not been watching much New Japan since the Dome. That's the last event that I saw. And part of the reason, you know, is, you know, I like, you know, what's going on, but it's not really hit me in my sweet spot. You know, I kind of feel like it's, you know, was that they're doing Honor Rising. Like they had an event today, and I don't know. It just seemed, for me, it's been too much like American indie, you know, wrestling, and I don't know. I'm just you know, I still enjoy it, but it's just you know, I'm just not into it as I used to be. You know, I don't feel like there's no immediacy for me to watch any of these events.
What are you watching anything overseas right now? What are you watching?
Yeah, I've been keeping track with All Japan, because it was friggin' awesome to see them live, you know, overseas. Just, you know, I'm going over a lot of the DVDs that I brought back with me when I was over there. Actually, I went to, and I mentioned it on the show, I went to a bunch of Gato Move shows. Those were the ones where it was like a mat inside of a room. You know, meanwhile, like the person, the head person that runs it, and she's also the head trainer, is like one of the most amazing, you know, Joshi wrestlers over there. And, you know, I didn't really see much of her stuff. Her name is Emi Sakura, and I didn't see much of her stuff, you know, beforehand. But I've just been starting to watch some of her stuff recently. I'm like, oh my God, this woman is fucking insane. She's incredible. And I haven't seen that much recently. I've only seen like a few matches, and I want to see more of her stuff. And one of the promotions that I'm really big into over there is another Joshi promotion, Ice Ribbon. And when I was on the trip, you know, I found out that she actually that was her promotion, and then she left at some point for mysterious circumstances. So now I'm like super curious about Emi Sakura, because actually one of her one of the wrestlers over there, her name is Rio, who I mentioned, you know, on the show that I was on about, you know, my Japan excursion. And she's phenomenal too. And she's like a 20-year-old, you know, girl who's got like over 10 years of experience. And the matches I saw her in, you know, whether it was the name of that location where, you know, they have the mat for Gato Move is called Ichigaya Chocolate Square. So I got to see her wrestle there, but I also got to see her wrestle at some like events that actually had a ring. And she was insane. I was like, wow, this girl's only 20 years old and she's having these kind of matches. This is incredible. So I'm more, you know, leaning into, you know, since coming back, you know, just exploring more of this stuff, you know, that I found that I was watching while I was over there. So that's what I've been doing lately.
All right. Well, I was hoping you would get watching some New Japan, but I could see why you're not.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I mean, I'm feeling the influx of Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I know Choppy is too.
I'll say this. From the stuff that I've been seeing, you know, on, you know, social media, like some of the clips and stuff like that, I think it's pretty cool that, you know, the Golden Lovers are back. Because when I, you know, first started, you know, watching, you know, Japanese wrestling more diligently, you know, they were a tag team in DDT and they were winning the IWGP junior tag titles from Apollo Go-Go, which was, you know, Finn Balor, Prince Devitt back then and Taguchi. And, you know, so it's kind of like long overdue. I think a lot of people were expecting like a match to happen between these guys. And I'm sure that's going to happen down the road, but, you know, I'm not the biggest Kenny Omega fan. I do like Kota Ibushi. I've been seeing him for years. It was touching to see their Macho Man Miss Elizabeth moment. I forgot what event it was. Power Struggle or whatever fucking names that they give these things.
Dave, I have to interrupt you 1 second. We're getting a call. Sir, are you on the line? Oh, Matt Squires was trying to call in.
What?
I don't know why I can't
get that man on.
I'm gonna try to. Hold on 1 second.
Just the bunny ears. Maybe he'll come in.
No, it's fucking Skype. I can't. I hate Skype. It's like the worst thing in the world. That's Dave. Almost.
I guess he's trying to talk, but
yeah, it's fucked up because Dave. I told Dave wanted to call in. And I was like, dude, man. I was like, I'm having problems with Skype. It's a shit show. But anyway, let me see. Add to the call. Now where is it? There it is. Let's try it again.
So much for nostalgia from 3 years ago.
Right? No, yeah, I mean no. It's ridiculous. Hello, sir. No, I don't know.
I know who my fuck you wrestler of the week is going to be.
No.
Fucking Skype.
No, no, no. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh my gosh, I felt like it was 4 years ago with Mega Powers on there, and then you got this other, you know, Aldo Montoya, you know, wannabe.
Just to celebrate everything that's going on,
we're in Biloxi, Mississippi right now at the Coco Beware Parrot Racing Championship. celebrate everything that's going on, Black Achievers, you guys here. It's crazy, it's pandemonium, there's newspapers everywhere. Right now, I'm enjoying a delicious homemade Kamala fruit by the foot. And, you know, WWE always wants you to be a star, but we are giving out One Day I Might Be a Star Apollo Crews t-shirts. So if you guys come on out, see the parrot races, get a t-shirt,
and
check it on out there. A long overdue road report.
Wait, stop. Wait, time out. Catch your breath, Chomp. Catch your breath. Wait. Fruit by the foot.
Oh my god, my stomach hurts.
Oh man.
Wow, that was great.
You were sitting on that for a long time, weren't you, sir?
You know, it's a gift. It just comes to me naturally. You know what I mean?
Apparently, yeah. It is a gift.
Yeah. Some people save the world. I make stupid jokes.
Holy wow. Shit, Kamala fruit by the foot. That was
classic.
Great.
Delicious.
Parrot races. Coco Beware. Lee Marshall.
I mean Frankie. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's the original Frankie. It may be Frankie 6 or 7
yeah,
by
Frankie's,
now. But...
Frankie XI or whatever.
Well, it is Black History Month, so maybe Frankie X.
Frankie X. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think Lee Marshall ever had these special events like we do.
Holy shit, that was funny.
That was awesome.
You gotta dig them up. You gotta look.
Listen, man, and
hey, what's we doing?
We're doing all right. We're getting by. We're getting by.
I heard David talking about, you know, Oriental wrestling. That's super.
Yeah, well, that's Dave's. That's yeah. Dave.
The land of the rising sun. You like that wrestling, huh?
Yeah, you know, Pat Tanaka, he still got it, you know?
Wonderful. The Oriental mullet, that's what we call him at our house.
What have you been up to, man?
You know, just like everybody else, working hard, getting rich.
Yeah.
And living the dream.
Living the dream. Everybody's well, I'm assuming?
Yes. Well, fat and happy.
Oh, man. That's awesome. That is awesome.
So
a lot of
thought I'd just jump in real quick. What's that?
So a lot of your family members got the gout?
No.
Just choppy.
Just choppy. We are a gout-free family.
That's good to know, man.
Yes.
You got to take care of your blood.
You got to.
Oh, man.
You know, the gout to get out.
That's choppy. You don't have to worry about vampires, maybe. That might be a plus with gout.
Ooh. Oh, man.
That's like Portuguese garlic, right? Gout for vampires?
That's it. That's it.
Ooh. Ooh. You're safe. You're the new Portuguese Simon Belmont. Go hunt some vampires now.
Oh, wow. It's like watching The Lost Boys in Portuguese.
Holy shit.
Oh, yes.
Damn.
Oh, with your gout lumpias. Throw them at the vampires.
Hey, Maddie, can you please make this like a weekly thing? Because that was fucking tremendous, dude. That was great.
Yeah,
we'll
man.
We'll see. All right, guys.
Love you, Matt.
Thank you so much, man.
I got to clean up these newspapers.
All right.
Later, boys.
Later, man.
Adios.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit. Kamala fruit by the foot.
Oh, my God.
Where does this guy get this shit, man?
I don't know.
Hey, man, I just hope Frankie X comes in. I got some money on this.
Frankie X.
Frankie.
What do you say about Apollo Crews?
Apollo Crews be a star t-shirt.
By the way, they dropped his last name now.
It's just Apollo?
Because they didn't want people to associate Apollo Crews with the guy who shot up everybody in Florida, because his name was like Nicholas Crews or some shit like that.
I thought it was...
So what about Tom Cruise?
What about Terry Crews? I don't know.
That's what the WWE told us.
Hmm. Well, that was surprised. I could not take a call from
that
Matt.
That was awesome.
Matt hasn't called in a minute.
So wait, I got a quick question for you guys before I mosey on off.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
What do you think about Double J in the Hall of Fame? You think it's this is a way for you know, they're probably paying for his Alcoholics Anonymous and all that other kind of shit. You think this is part of that to help his ass?
We were gonna save that for the end, but you know what? Since we're on the line, you on the line, you asked. I'm gonna say no. I'm going to say that they are doing it mainly because of his contributions all around. You know, everybody, you know, it's funny because everybody will have their opinion about the person that gets in, you know, and then there are people who hated him, and then once they see the nomination, they're all on his dick. It's like the same thing with the dead wrestlers. You know how I complain about, you know, people put like Owen Hart on a pedestal, and, you know, yeah. same concept. I don't think they pay for everybody's rehab.
Yeah,
that was an employee, so that's it. That's just a policy that they have. I don't think they're giving him peripheral treatment per se. I think it's just them giving him. It's just WWE giving him a rub. Like, hey, listen, we acknowledge what you did. We acknowledge what your dad did for the industry, for the territories. And for your mind, I mean, take nothing. He's a smart dude, man. He learned from his dad, you know. And I again, Jerry Jarrett was an amazing promoter for his time, with limited resources too.
Yeah.
So I think,
except for that big ass house that he was living in, apparently.
Yeah, and you know what? The guy's been through a fucking hell and back, man. He lost his wife to cancer. You know, you could say he stole Kurt Angle's wife, but him and Kurt Angle and his wife are on the outs as is. You know, I mean, there was a lot going on back then. We don't know the whole story with that either.
Yeah, you know, he was also outed for not singing "With My Baby Tonight." You know, that was pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. So again, I don't care because, and I used to have this conversation with Tank almost every week. I don't care because everybody's going to get in.
I mean, let me just. Everyone knows I am not a Jeff Jarrett guy.
I wasn't a Jeff Jarrett guy.
No. But the thing, do I think he deserves to go in? Absolutely, he does. Do you keep in mind the guy's a former 6-time Intercontinental Champion, European Champion, and Tag Champion. I mean,
NWA North American Champion
and the NWA North American Heavyweight Champion
and a WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
He's done a lot, and like for all this hate on the guy. Just because he went to the Hall of Fame, it's just uncalled for. Let's also keep in mind, he helped develop talent in TNA. One AJ Styles, who's the WWE champion. One Bobby Roode, who's the United States champion. Let's not forget that. I mean, he did a lot of contributions to the business. That's pretty much all I have to say. He does deserve to be in there.
Yeah. I think everybody who made a significant contribution should be in. You know,
Jesus fucking Christ! Even Vern Gagne went in, and he was never in the company.
Dave, who posted that post that that Jeff Jarrett had programs with China, Ahmed Johnson, and somebody else? Mongo. He deserves being just on that. On that
that was funny.
That was pretty funny.
Some tweet. Yeah, the man had programs with China, Mongo, and Ahmed Johnson, so he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Nah, so I don't have a problem with it. I'm looking forward. You know, I look forward to the Hall of Fame every year, but because I like to hear the stories. And
oh, yeah. And I already heard him on Lawler's show, and he's already going to – they're already trying to get the light-up jacket to work, and you know, I'm sure they'll probably try to get him to sing the song and all that other shit. So, you know, people are going to love it.
I think the Road Dogs are going to induct him.
I'm going to say Jerry.
Yeah, it's kind of what I'm thinking because they're definitely not going to have China induct him, that's for sure. Abraham
McMichaels. I think it could either be Jerry or Dixie.
Maybe.
Because Dixie Carter's on good terms with Vince right now, and they've mentioned her on
yeah, she's the no longer involved in wrestling either, so it would, that would make sense, you know?
Yeah, she's done enough damage, so.
Well, listen, Mr. Mega Powers, before we let you go, Choppy and I just want to thank you very much for holding it down on the Instagrams for us. Over 200 followers.
Yeah, man. Dude. You've been rocking and rolling on that.
You've been killing it, dude. So we appreciate that.
I'm doing my best. I enjoy doing it. You know, I want to get the word out. And I don't know if it helped any, but I heard you guys had 1,200 downloads on the website or something like that.
Yeah, last week. Yeah. 2 weeks ago on .com, it was 1,200 downloads. So
yeah, man. So
that's awesome. You know, so
anything I can do to, you know, spread the gospel on the old school, you know, I'm more than happy to help you guys out.
Thank you so much, bro.
So we'll see you for Mania.
Well, I'll see you guys at the Black Achievers first.
Oh yeah, we'll see you guys at the Black
Achievers. WrestleMania.
Yeah, and you'll be here for WrestleMania. All right, cool. So listen to Dave and Tony C and the crew. Probably a run-in by yours truly and Double A and a few other characters, probably Surfer. Wednesday night, the 28th, that'll be the last day of February. I think it's an 8 o'clock start or 9 o'clock start. Either way, you get the
you get the
black carpet before that.
Correct.
And should be fun. So, Dave, thank you so much for calling in tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'll catch you on the flip side.
Good looking out, bro.
Later, brother.
Peace.
Oh, man. That was fucking great. Matt Squires with the fucking run-in.
The Road Report back.
Yeah, the Road Report. Hopefully it's back. If Matt always had carte blanche. I mean, we never not told him not to call in. There's all the nonsense that went on. It was
no, he could have called in anytime he wanted.
Anytime he wanted. Anytime the Skype was open, he can call in.
Of course.
But yeah, it was cool to hear that. That was laughing out loud ridiculous.
Whoa, holy shit, was that funny.
You gotta go back and listen to some of his other ones. You've heard most of them.
Oh, remember when we did the, when it was like my first time doing the show with you? It was me, you, Mega Powers, and then we had like Rick Darragh on, and then we had And it was Maddie who did the road report when he did the Girlberg sparklers and the
Holy shit. Was that funny?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's...
Tony C was on there, too.
Yeah, he's a character, man.
Oh, my God. That shit was so funny. I love Maddie. Maddie's awesome.
I like that he's still around. He's one of the good guys.
Yeah. We were talking about the Elimination Chamber, the main event?
We were. So I was picking Finn Balor, and I was telling you why.
Yeah.
And then I was going to get into Roman Reigns, who... will still fight either John Cena or, dare I say, The Undertaker.
Again?
I don't know. I can't, listen, I'm not taking away from him being at Mania.
Okay.
You know, but at the main event, I should say.
Correct.
But I think it'd be fucking awesome just to have Finn Balor take the belt off Brock.
I think it'd be awesome too, but do I see it happening? No, I don't, but...
Okay.
But I think, I hope from your mouth to God's ears that it happens because it'll be at least be something different, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm cool with that. That'll be fine.
Yeah, coverage for Elimination Chamber, I believe, is on the Rant 7 o'clock. Tony C and Double A and all those guys will be on there. Not my favorite pay per view, but
it's too gimmicky.
Yeah. Yeah, not really, really, but really had not really.
Oh, Mega Powers is in the room, and he just said Jocka wants to come back on.
Yeah, tell Jocka to message me,
dude.
He wants to come back on. He's always welcome,
dude. He lives in the area, doesn't he? He lives in Staten Island.
He can call in if he wants.
Anytime he wants. Yeah, anytime absolutely. He wants
to come in, man. No doubt. We can have Jocka on. Maybe we'll have Jocka on before Mania, because they'll probably Beyond's probably going down to New Orleans.
He's still the Evolved Tag Champs, right? With him and Chris Dickinson.
Yeah.
Wow, that's been a long time, though.
Yo, you got to follow Chris Dickinson on Instagram.
He's awesome.
Okay. Chris, like myself, is a drummer. He's a way better drummer than I am. And he was playing Celtic Frost on his headphones on an electric drum pad. And I guess his girlfriend was taping him. And he's got a bunch of... He's a fanboy. He's got a setup behind him, all the X-Men stuff on a shelf and his figures and stuff. Chris was an amazing guest. He's a friend of the show. Yeah. I met him through Dave and Jocka.
He's a big-time video gamer, dude.
Big-time gamer, retro gamer.
Did you see his Japanese Sega Saturn?
I most certainly
Holy did. Shit, I want that.
And he's from Shaolin.
Yes, he is. He's from the island.
Staten Island native.
But now you know where he lives at?
He's in Massachusetts.
He's in New Bedford. My old stomping ground.
Pacquica. Yeah, so we'll definitely have Jocka back on the show. He was awesome. Be a little bit better of a setup for us too. And
yeah,
he was a great guest. We had some great guests on the show, man. So yeah, Jocka wants to come back. Tell Jocka to message me. We'll definitely have him on. He can call in. He can come in studio if he wants.
Yeah.
And speaking of studio, I was at IKEA this weekend.
Did you get the stuff?
I didn't get the stuff yet. I have to clean the room out first before we get the furniture, but I priced it, and it's going to happen. I'm just going to need you to help me put this shit together.
That's fine. That's not a problem.
But we're going to have, it's going to be dope, and I want to have it up by Mania, so it's going to take it's going to take 2 weekends. It's going to take 1 weekend to empty this room out and empty the front room out because we're getting new furniture.
Okay.
That was another thing. I was adulting a lot last weekend on my anniversary weekend.
Oof.
Got new furniture coming in a couple of weeks. You're going to love the furniture, by the way.
I'm sure I am.
Oh, it's a sectional with the long ass fucking end. Oh, it's dope. And we got a nice dining room table. So we'll be all set up for Mania, which would be dope. And went to IKEA and priced a bunch of shit. And basically, yeah, it was adulting, really. So
very nice.
So
I like.
Very nice. Cinque. Let's see.
What do you call it? I'm looking up. They're bringing back the NXT Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
That was my next thing, actually.
I have the brackets up right now.
I have the brackets right here, actually.
Do you want to read them off?
You can read them off if you want. I have them here.
Whatever you want to do. Okay, so I'll read them off right now.
The first round?
The first round is, what do you call it? It's the Street Profits against Heavy Machinery.
Okay, got that.
I'm liking that. And then you have TM61 versus the AOP.
You forgot Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss.
Oh, yeah, versus Sanity.
Versus Sanity.
And then TM61 and Authors of Pain. And then you have, which I love this tag team, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus the Mustache Mountain, which is of Was it? What's the guy's name?
Tyler Bate and Trent Seven.
Yes. There you go.
Yep. Let's see. What and then the semifinals would be Street Profits or Heavy Machinery versus Sabatelli and Moss or Sanity. TM61 or the Authors of Pain versus Lorcan and Birch or the Mustache Mountain. And then your finals at TakeOver the night before Mania would be the Street Profits or Heavy Machinery or Tino Sabatelli, Rick Moss or Wolf and Young versus TM61 or the AOP or Lorcan and Birch or the Mustache Mountain.
What do you got winning this?
Oh, man. I think as much as I love my AOP, I think they're going to be upset in the first round.
TM61's going to beat him?
I think so.
I think, you know, and you want to know why?
And how come War Machine's not in it?
I'll tell you why. Do you want to know why?
Why?
They're going to save him right after Mania.
You think?
Fuck yeah, they are. They're going to debut those motherfuckers right after Mania. How are you going to debut these guys right before? You can't. AOP is out the door. War Machine is in.
Well,
War Machine's going to get them fucking straps, dude. They're getting those straps. War Machine versus Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
It's going to be super.
Yeah, I'm a mark for Dusty Rhodes. He's my favorite, and I'm a mark for tag team, so this is perfect. It'll kick off on March 7th, and the winners will face O'Reilly and Fish at TakeOver for the titles.
Who do I got winning this? I'm going to say TM61.
That'd be a good match.
The whole thing.
I like those guys.
They're going to win the whole thing.
The titles?
Yeah. No, just the tournament, but they're not going to win against Bobby Fish and O'Reilly. I think they're going to say Bobby Fish and O'Reilly for fucking War Machine. I'm telling you, War Machine's going to fucking destroy everybody.
Say what you want about ROH's tag team scene, but NXT has a lock on it right now.
I'm still not sold on the Street Profits, though. I do like the one guy. The one dude, not Angelo Dawkins, the other dude. The other dude is much more charismatic than Dawkins.
Yeah, I agree. Before we go to break, I want to ask you your opinion. I don't know if you saw the tweet that Velveteen Dream was, speaking of NXT.
Yeah, about the indie wrestlers.
About a tweet he put out.
Yeah, read it off.
Can I read it?
Please.
So he says, and I quote, "I'm beyond irritated by indie guys coming into NXT, taking up spots, living out their dreams, pretending to be actual talent, or as we put it, quote-unquote, superstars. I am homegrown talent, and I breed success on my own terms. Reactions prove it. Facts are facts. If anyone on the contract has an issue with the dream, I'm easy to find."
Okay.
Is that sour grapes or is that a work?
Okay. I'm a huge Velveteen Dream fan. You know I am.
Yeah, me too.
He's a young guy. Super young. 21, 22 years old. Do I think this is a work? Could be. Could be just a work. I think it's a work. I think it's a little bit as... That's a little bit of him as well. I'm pretty sure he's a little fed up with a lot of the ROH guys coming in and TNA guys, all that shit. But he's a phenomenal talent. He's a very, very good talent for such a young age. Great look, good on the mic, great in the ring. Do I think he's a little overboard with the comment? I think he is, and I'll tell you why. You got to keep in mind, the guy's real name is, I believe, is Patrick Clark from Tough Enough?
Yes.
Okay. He was an indie wrestler, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, he was an indie wrestler. So him and Leo Rush, had before they went to NXT, were tons of matches with each other. They know each other very well. They're best friends, him and Leo Rush.
If you say so, I don't know.
I know the backstory.
That's fine.
Absolutely. So that means you're shitting on your boy Leo Rush. You're shitting on Gargano. You're shitting on Tommaso Ciampa. You're also shitting on yourself. You were an indie wrestler, dude. If this is a work, that's fine and dandy. But if you're talking from the heart and you're saying this is like from your heart and you believe these words, then you're an asshole, dude. You shouldn't be saying shit like that, because everyone that goes in that company is an indie wrestler. Essentially.
Sometimes they're just picked from like whatever...
I think he should be more angry with the people that are just picked up out of nowhere instead of the guys that actually bust their asses on the Indian scene to make it to NXT. Wouldn't you?
Yeah. I think it's a work.
It's a work. It has to be.
It's a work. That's all I have to say about it. I mean, it's, yeah. It generated heat. It made all the dirt sheets. It's all over Twitter.
I'm sure it got retweeted multiple times. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure he got a bunch of comments about it. Do I think he's a? If it's legit, it's legit. Whatever, I don't care. I still think he's a phenomenal talent. I love this guy. You know how I feel about him. He reminds me of fucking Macho Man and fucking Purple Rain himself, fucking Prince. Mm-hmm. So and wrapped in one-to-one little package. He's good, really good.
All right,
sky's the limit for this guy.
Fair enough. He's getting better as he goes along.
Dude, his match with Aleister Black was fantastic.
It was pretty good. I enjoyed that.
Yep.
You have an FU wrestler of the week or no?
I was originally saving it for Jeff Jarrett, but I don't think so, man. Nobody's really pissed me off this week.
All right, so if you only have to be, listen, you only get one if you're pissed off. So
yeah, I'm not really too pissed off.
Okay, see, that's fine. That's good.
And I've actually been very nice today.
You have been very nice today.
I haven't said anything very
derogatory or racist. No, you haven't. You've been good.
Did you just call me a racist?
No, I said you say racist things.
I am not a racist.
No, okay? You're culturally insensitive. Big difference.
Gotta love those stereotypes.
Anyway, we'll take a quick break. We gotta plug our friends.
Already? Taking a break?
Yeah.
Oh shit! It's 10 o'clock.
Listen. We follow a program here. I don't know.
God damn, that was fast. Okay.
We don't have a time limit. We like to go 2 hours. If you want to talk about anything else before we go to break, it's fine. I have
no. It's fine. No. It's cool.
All right, so we'll be right back. We'll turn Turnbuckle Throwback. It's Phil. It's Choppy. It's
keep Friday. It on.
Keep it on, you fuckers. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
That chicken I smell, I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political double fuckery.
I haven't played this bad since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Thank you.
All right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's Phil. It's Choppy. What the hell are you drinking?
Pepsi Zero.
Oh.
I love you.
So you know whose music that was?
Sting. Of course it was.
Sting!
Sting! Fucking trip.
Sting. The Black Scorpion.
Yeah, Sting.
Why did the Black Scorpion sound like Dark the Claw Inspector Gadget?
What, Destro? No, Destro was Cobra Commander.
Cobra Commander.
Cobra Commander by Cock Hurts.
Who's the other guy that used to, from G.I. Joe, that was, used to shapeshift or the disguises? It was
Zartan.
Zartan, that's who it was. He was dope.
Yo, that toy, before we get into our throwback of the week, let me give Phil's throwback toy of the week, was fucking... I had Zartan and the Dreadnoughts, right?
Oh, yeah.
But Zartan came with a swamp, like a sled, like a,
yes,
like
yeah,
a
yeah,
ski,
yeah.
Like a ski thingy,
mm-hmm.
And it changed color in the sun.
Ooh.
So did Zartan himself. One of my favorite toys. That, and that same year, I got the evil twins, Tomas and Zaymot.
One of my favorite toys to ever own was one of the original X-Men toys. Which was Iceman, who came with an actual, like, ice sled.
Oh.
Whatever. You know how you used to create the ice from Super Friends?
Sure.
You would put water in this little thing, and you put it in the freezer, and it looked like he was riding on ice. It was fucking cool. They don't do shit like that no more.
Nah.
Bastards.
Yeah, it's nothing simple anymore. Everything's come fucking 9,000 pieces.
Everything has to be... Oh!
Uh-oh.
I forgot to tell you.
What?
You'll never guess what I saw at Toys R Us the other day.
At a business fucking science?
No. Besides that, ring that bell. They brought back the original Voltron toy.
Oh, did they? From Bandai? Not Bandai.
Not the original, not the metallic one you're talking about, but they brought back the original Lions.
The die-cast metal ones.
No, not metal. They're still plastic. They're selling the old school Voltron toy, but like the lines are like super big, dude. Like the toy's gonna be up to here if you put it together.
That's not the original. The original is like this.
Yeah, I know. This one is like that, dude. That's
so it's like the Shogun Warriors from the '70s.
Almost. Yes.
Remember those? I don't remember those.
I saw the show.
I had one of the original Shogun Warriors. It was on wheels,
mm-hmm.
And it shot little red missiles.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
You know what I like to? I mean, what I gotta watch again is Gotcha Man or G-Force, whatever you want to fucking call it.
G-Force
was dope.
With the Phoenix?
Yes.
Yeah. Battle of the Planets, you're talking about.
That, yeah. It's called Gotcha Man or Battle of the Planets or...
Fucking dope.
Or Lick My Taint, whatever.
No, it doesn't. It's not called Lick Your Taint. Fucking dolt. Mongo, little known fact. The Dreadnoughts are the Bushwhackers are related.
Are they now?
Whoa!
Hey!
Fucking. She goes to Bushwhackers for Halloween.
Lick
each other's face.
Or we could lick our wives' faces.
They would love that.
They would.
Not. They'd probably beat the shit out of us.
Oh, yes.
Are you ready for your throwback, bro?
Sure.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
And now, here is your throwback of the week.
Mm.
Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
You done?
Yes. Sorry. Love Voltron. Have you finished the Voltrons that I gave you?
No. Of course. I had to pack them. You gave them to me and I packed them.
What the fuck, man? You should watch that shit.
They're still packed away. I haven't unpacked them yet.
So I'm pretty sure you guys know this. I gave them like 5 seasons of Voltron.
Right before I moved.
They all come in like metal tin cans.
Of each line,
of each different color. And the only reason I got them was because I got them so cheap. You know how much I got those things for? $5 a piece.
Yeah.
Because they're still in the plastic. I never watched them because I never had time to. So I was like, you know what? Phil's going to appreciate this more than I did.
Yeah.
Give it to Phil. And he still hasn't seen it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen all the episodes. I have to just revisit them and stuff. You know what I've been getting into?
What?
But thank you, by the way. Bob's Burgers. That show is awesome.
Bab?
Come on, Bobby.
Look at the tree.
Oh, look at the tree. Who wants Bailey's? John Robbins is the shit.
Oh,
from Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, by the way.
Oh, God.
Come on. All those fucking, all the girl voices are men, except for the what's-a-face, the little one. Oh, I love Tina.
Tina's awesome.
Oh, man.
Tina, turn, turn.
Fucking dope.
Great show.
When Bob kills what's-his-face's... on the Halloween party,
yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They put Bob in a fat suit,
yeah,
and he kills the what do you call it? The what's his friend's name with the stubby face?
Oh, oh.
Tom or something like that. Bob, not Bob.
The guy with the construction worker. The yeah, oh, yeah. God,
he had a Halloween party and he had a what do you call it? A guinea pig.
Damn it!
And he spray painted the guinea pig. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he rolled over on it and killed it. It's pretty dope.
It's a good show.
Yeah, it's a good show. Go
watch it. Good Bob's Burgers.
February 22nd, 1998, from the Cow Palace in Northern California. It's Daly City, I think. It's near San Jose.
The historic
Cow Palace.
Cow Palace, where
original,
Pat Patterson made a name for himself.
Ray Stevens, NWA. Freddie Blassie from the 50s and 60s, yeah. The original home of the San Jose Sharks, by the way.
Okay.
12,620 people were there.
Yep. Give me one second. Hold on one second. Give me like a minute real quick. I got a bit of an emergency real quick. Hold on.
All right, good.
Sorry, guys. Hold on.
All right. All right, Choppy's going to step out. So, let's see. I can't talk about the throwback without Choppy. So, I'm going to sit here and just... Well, anyway. San Francisco, Cow Palace, 12,620. There was... They have it as a dark match, but it was actually aired on a network. I saw it, and I'll talk about that in a second. Let's see. Was it Shinryu? No, it wasn't Shinryu. Let me see here. I'm going to pull it up. Well, while Choppy's doing that, we'll once again thank Matt Squires and Mega Powers for calling in. My phone is blowing up with nonsense. NCAA fucking citations. Why can't people just follow the rules? Really, why can't you just follow the rules? Why have to take shortcuts when your schools generate all this money? It's just ridiculous. I'll save that for Will Morgan's sports report, which you listen to every Monday on rantemradio.com. That's immediately following Raw.
Sorry.
So everything all right over there?
Yeah. Medic stuff.
All right.
She needed a medic.
She's a medic?
Yeah, she was having some tummy troubles.
Is she fine? All
right. Yeah, no. Yes and no. She'll be fine, though.
Do we have to stop and get her anything on the way home?
I'm going to have to get something for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's working until 1 o'clock this morning, by the way.
All right. I may take that ride with you to the store before you go home. I gotta pick up some
That's
store.
Fine.
All right. Anyway.
Sorry about that, guys. Apologize.
It's fine. It's fine. Okay. So, Rick Martel was originally booked to win the match against Booker T.
However, he got injured after the hip toss, if I'm not mistaken.
He tore his knee ligament during the match.
Correct. Now, keep in mind, Rick Martel is like 41, 42 years old already by this time.
They were giving him a push.
They were, man, because he was like, he was in great shape. He was tanned. He could talk. He could still wrestle. But when he tore that ligament, dude, when I saw him take that bump, I was like, oh, it's over.
Yeah, Booker T at this point was on a solo tip. This was the start of his
rise.
To a
singles run.
So him and Martel for the TV championship, which was a really good match until Rick Martel hurt himself.
Until disaster struck.
Yeah. You know, Raven comes out, nonsense. I thought the match was pretty good, though.
The match was... Keep in mind, Perry Saturn had his mind set on fighting Rick Martel.
Correct.
They had to switch it up, and the match still came out pretty good. It just shows the talent that Perry Saturn has. Maverick is in.
Hello, Maverick.
How talented is fucking Perry Saturn and Booker T?
I'll get me started.
Jesus Christ.
Rick Martel can still go for 41 years old.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, no. At one point, Martel tries a double axe handle... But jumps off into a Harlem sidekick.
Yep.
And Booker covers him for the 1-2-3 at 10:35.
That's another thing. I think at this time Booker T was still trying to figure out what finishing move to use. I remember at one point he was using the axe kick. And then he was transitioning to the Harlem Hangover, which was the somersault leg drop.
Yeah.
And then for some odd reason, he started using the missile drop kick, which he was calling the Heat Seeker, if I'm not mistaken. And it was kind of weird at this time. And then he started using the Rock Bottom, which was the bookend.
The bookend, yeah. Well, again, this was the beginning of his solo run.
Correct.
So I guess he was still trying to figure it out. Yeah, so Martel would tear his knee even further, taking that final sidekick, and was forced to retire, actually. Mm-hmm. I think it was his last match.
It was his last match, because the thing is, I saw his shoot interview about the whole match. He said he's not mad at Booker T, you know. Booker T was just, you know, being a young guy, still trying to just have a great match, and it was just a freak accident, you know.
So, post-match, Saturn jumps the rail, dumps Martel, puts the boots to Booker.
Yep.
Hooks the Rings of Saturn to wear him down.
Which I love this finishing move.
Yeah.
I love the Rings of Saturn.
So Mickey J now is going to start the match.
Yes.
Not even waiting for Saturn to release the hold.
Nope.
So now you have Booker T defending his title again. Defending his title now is against...
Because he just won the title.
Saturn has hair in this match.
Well, Saturn had hair in ECW. He had like a long ponytail at one point, and then he like...
Well, he had that, yeah. Yeah, it was shaved in the ponytail.
Yes.
Now it's like a fucking shaved bouffant. It looks like, I don't know.
I was waiting for him to pull out the man bun at one point.
Okay, terrific.
I'm sorry.
Okay, terrific.
I love you, Saturn. Despite what's going on with you in your life, I think you were one of the best.
He is one of the best. Saturn, I mean, takes a bunch of shortcuts.
Correct.
Let me get to the end here.
Believe it or not, I was actually hoping Saturn was going to win this.
Saturn hits a springboard Vader bomb.
Yes.
Booker T ducks a few shots and hits the burrito. Book goes for the flying hip check in the corner, but Saturn avoids it, and Book bombs out and eats it face first. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Saturn puts him on the top for the super back suplex. Double KO spot right now. If Bobby Brahina points out that if Booker loses, he'll be the shortest reigning TV champion ever.
Yep.
And if Booker T loses, it'll become the shortest title reign in the history of our sport. And Brain goes, "You think this Brain thing is just a gimmick?" Tony Schiavone goes, "Yes, I do."
They hated each other, by the way.
Because Mickey J doesn't count while Book is in the ropes. Tony compliments him, and then transitions to how he hopes that this will land Mickey J the job refereeing Hogan and Sting tonight. We'll get into that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
The match was really good, man. Let me get into it. Hold on a second. So Booker T wins with the sidekick.
Yep.
At 14, that match went longer than the Rick Martel match.
I think the match with Martel would have been longer as well if it wasn't for the injury. If you can, I'm looking at the times right here. Booker T wrestled a combined, 25 minutes, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
The Disco Inferno match in La Parca, why was this even on it?
If you follow Nitro, it was a kind of a thing, you know?
It was?
Yeah. Well, listen, you got a lot. Listen, you have to, at the time, there was a lot going on in WCW. There's a lot going on.
Okay.
I was watching the Nitros before and after
mm-hmm.
today to get myself psyched up for the show. Ton of stuff going on.
I didn't watch the Nitro, so I was still trying to figure out why this was a thing.
Yeah. The feud was basically who can dance better. It was a dance, basically a dance contest.
Now I remember the feud. Exactly, because this is stupid.
Right.
I can't believe you were a Disco Inferno guy.
I was.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. Glenn Gilberti for me was funny. You know, he was reminds me of he was their Santino.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, he every era has the comedy shtick. Okay.
Okay.
No matter how you slice it. Okay. Disco wins 11:44, hits the Chop Buster,
which was pretty much the stunner.
Yeah, basically. So now Mean Gene is with JJ Dillon. Gene says he doesn't want to speculate, but he will know about the status of referee Nick Patrick, who at this point is trying to get reinstated as his departure from the NWO.
After the debacle in Starcade.
Right. So Dillon says that Nick Patrick has been reinstated. Nick goes bananas. and he hugs JJ, kisses Gene, then commends him commandeers the mic and cuts a promo. He goes, "I know you've seen the light, Mr. Dillon. I want you to know this is that one of the happiest days of my life. And for all you fans out there who stuck behind me through this whole ordeal, and for my family who's out there watching, I'd like to take this opportunity to say I'm glad that tonight is the night, tonight's main event, I will be able to vindicate myself in front of all you people. I'm going to call this match right down the middle, just the way I see it." JJ's like, "No, you're not. You're not refereeing
anymore."
So Nick Patrick goes, chastises Mean Gene and goes, "I didn't get my back pay." Like, he cuts his promo and he walks off. Mongo says Alex Wright was the best dancer. Do we care?
No, I didn't care for him.
I hate Alex Wright. Das Wunderkind.
Das Wunderkind.
Das Oompa.
I like him when he was the wall. Not the wall. When he had the black hair, what was his gimmick?
Oh, Jesus.
Fuck.
Wasn't Das Wunderkind.
Berlin.
Berlin.
Yes, yeah. Berlin.
Terrible.
You know he has a school?
Huh?
I'm friends with Alex Wright on Facebook. He has a school.
Where?
I want to say it's... No, I don't think it's Germany, but I'm pretty sure it's in the States somewhere. I forget where, though, but he has a school. I mean, for a former television champion, cruiserweight champion, tag champ, he did a lot in WCW.
All right.
Anyways.
The next match was...
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Goldberg versus Brad Armstrong. Why? You know what it was? I was... Fucking Brad Armstrong. I feel so bad for this guy. He's such a talented wrestler, and he had to be job out to fucking Goldberg. Brad, I think, was only like 35 or 36 years old at this point. What? Yeah. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
What's the matter?
Nick the Dick German Suplex is in the fucking room. Damn, we got a lot of people in the fucking room today.
Will you stop?
No.
Hey, German, did you like the shirt?
Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you.
What?
Did you like the shirt, German? It's all for you, buddy. Basically, you're... Okay, go back to the match. Goldberg versus Brad Armstrong, pretty much a squash match. It's just to elevate Goldberg even more.
I like Mike Tenay. The side Russian leg sweep, that's his trademark. That's gotten through so many wins through the years. Goldberg no-sells it and hits the fucking... the gargoyle suplex.
Was Brad Armstrong's finishing move really the Russian leg sweep? I don't doubt that.
I don't know.
No.
No. And then, of course, Spear Jackhammer. The Armstrong curse continues.
Spear Jacker.
The Spear Jacker. Terrible.
Horrible.
How they did the Candyman.
This match.
Title versus mask for the WCW Cruiserweight Championship.
Oh.
The juice is loose. Hoovy versus Jericho.
Oh, my God. Was this match so good? What about this? The spot where Jericho gets chopped in the chest outside by Hoovy, and he just, like, collapses, and he starts looking up and down to see if the ref is going to keep on counting him until he can win the match.
The best is Bobby the Brain Heenan goes, "Look, Jericho with that belt, he doesn't want to take it off."
That's
it's
right!
It's a security blanket. That's his binky. Shivani goes, "His what?" Brain goes, "Binky." Tony goes, "His binky?" Brain goes, "Yeah." Tony goes, "Okay, we've had a binky sighting here at Super Bowl 8. Tanay goes, "He wears it everywhere. Yeah. Last week he wore it in a restaurant. Earlier today he was working out in the gym in the Bay Area and he had it on."
Wow. Jesus Christ. The, what do you call it? What was my favorite part of this match? It was Jericho lying on the ground. You know what was noticeable to me? 1998 Jericho did not belong in the Cruiserweight division. He was so much bigger than those cruiserweights, dude.
Listen, I'm going to say nay. You're seeing that now because I think you're jaded. Not that you're jaded, but I think because of what Jericho's done.
You're right. At the time, I didn't see that. But what I'm saying, I'm looking at the match now. In comparison, his body type, in comparison to a lot of the cruiserweights that were there, he was way bigger than those guys.
Dude, all the Mexicans were under 200 pounds, though.
But
Dean was his weight. So was Benoit.
Dean was not his weight.
They were 230 pounds each. At
Dean
least.
Was not 230.
You sure?
I think he was like 210.
I don't know about that.
Because Jericho looked like he was 230, dude, at this point. Benoit was definitely 230, but he was not a cruiserweight.
No, he was never a cruiserweight. But Ray Ray was under 200 pounds.
Ray was. And I believe
Eddie Guerrero was not.
Eddie Guerrero was under.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was.
I don't know about that.
In WCW, he was a buck 90 or 200 pounds.
He was two. All right, Dean Malenko was 212.
See?
Okay.
Okay. I'm telling you, Jericho did not belong in that division. He was. Well, he was already transitioning to the TV title. I know for a fact he was.
Jericho, let's see. What's the biggest Jericho? What the fuck, man?
He's as big as my ball sack.
Doesn't say. Wait. Hold on a minute. I don't know, man. I disagree. I think he fit right in.
I mean,
225.
He was almost 230, man. I'm telling you. He's a big man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Large man.
Why'd you whisper for?
Large man.
Fucking femme. What's wrong with you?
I'm super.
Anyway, this is a great match.
It was a fantastic match.
This went, you know, if it went almost 14 minutes.
It felt longer, though.
It felt a lot longer.
Yeah.
Yo, was Nick German saying in his chat?
He said, I see the shirt pic now. I thought you were talking about the one when your wife's shirt on. Oh, the one where I was wearing, like, my wife's shirt and I was making an ass of myself on Facebook. That's the one he's talking about.
Jesus.
You know what was another favorite spot of this match? Is when Jericho puts him up for a scoop slam and just drops him with a tombstone pile driver almost.
Yeah.
That was a really nice spot. I mean, these guys had really good chemistry.
They did. It was a good match. Let's see. I'll go towards the end. They go through like a flash steamboat sequence, but they stop before a backslide so Jericho can hit the reverse suplex.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho goes for the lion salt, but whiffs, and Hoovy tries another wheelbarrow move, but Jericho counters it and goes for the lion tamer. The crowd gets into it really good.
Yep.
Hoovy rolls him up for another two. Hoovy tries one more Rana, but Jericho catches him on the way down and deep seats the fucking lion tamer.
Yeah, he puts a knee right to the back.
And then Hoovy taps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have had to Hoovy pass out, because if the mask meant that much to you, why would you have the guy quit?
You know, well, of course, post-match was the best.
Yes. Quasi-juice.
Quasi-juice. Thank you all for all your old Jericho Hulks for your support. Jericho says, Hoovy says he loves his father and unmasks. Hoovy would have been getting a bit of a push, including the El Mariachi-like vignettes, getting beat up by Reese, a.k.a. Yeti. Not the same guy as Roadblock. just so we're clear on that.
Fucking Roadblock.
All right. The next one was...
oh, Jesus.
My
fuck.
Shit show match of the night.
God, can you... I don't even want to talk about this fucking match. This match was terrible.
Wait. You're on Turbuckle Throwbacks. We have to talk about
it. I know we do, but the British Bulldog versus... They did not gel at all, dude. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Did Mongo really have a move called the Strip Club Hammer?
No, he did not.
That's what they called it.
Oh, he just had to move the spike, which is the Tombstone Pile Driver, and that was it.
Bulldog with an armbar takedown, hooks in a Sweet Fujiwara, and Mongo taps. And that's 6 minutes and 11 seconds.
That I will never get back.
That we'll never get back, exactly.
The next match... DDP versus Chris Benoit for
the... Match of the night.
Fucking fantastic match.
Yeah.
This is a great match.
This is a great match. This is the return match for the United States Championship. We've talked about DDP the last... towards the end of 17, we talked about how this was DDP's time.
Yes.
He was coming into his own, and they threw Benoit at him,
mm-hmm.
which was... It was between Savage and Benoit, and then Raven, you couldn't touch DDP's matches at this point. He was gold.
He was heavy. And I still don't understand why people think that just because he was friends with Bischoff that he didn't deserve to be in the position that he was in. He was so fucking good. He was very underrated as a worker.
I really want to, like, defend him. Well, nobody's really debated us on this, and I'm glad. Like,
yeah.
Anybody who can, I mean, if you can tell us any different, like, DDP was gold. He was really good at this point, you know?
And he deserved the United States title at this point.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because
that's the Intercontinental title of WCW right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, let me ask you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think, like, okay, Benoit was at this point, Benoit was signed in 95 by WCW. He hasn't won a single championship until about 99. Do you think they waited way too long to give this guy a belt? Because that's a long stretch without a title.
Considering that he wasn't really a solo wrestler, he was always in a crew, like the Horsemen and...
And Revolution.
Yeah. This is another thing that kind of irks me because, you know, it's that coulda, shoulda, woulda with Benoit, and everybody, like, puts him over, and then all of a sudden he committed this heinous crime and that old bag, and then people totally turn off about him.
Yeah.
And they don't give him the recognition. They didn't see him, I don't think, until late. I agree. Until late to give him the world shit. Didn't he beat Sid for the title?
He did.
Okay.
And then he just relinquished it right back because he went to WWF.
Correct.
So, this is what I think about Benoit. Benoit was great in 98, but they should have given him at least one championship by at least 97. But anyways, in 99 he becomes tag champion, television champion, United States champion, and world heavyweight champion in one fucking year.
Well, you gotta understand, too, they had guys in place. They had Hogan, they had Savage, they had Goldberg.
Correct.
They had Sting. So they had guys, I mean, it wasn't as political as it was in the 80s where it was just Hogan, you know, and then Savage. But it was, WCW was meticulous for planning shit 6-8 months in advance. They're the ones who set the standard for it. In hindsight, once they knew what they had, and once they established that they were the top dog, they just put guys in place and kept it going. The NWO was a gimmick. The Giant was champion. Nash. Then they split the fucking teams up. The Wolfpack, Silver. You know what I'm saying? It got to the point where guys got lost in the shuffle.
Yes.
So there's your Benoit theory that guys get lost in the shuffle. So I'll agree with you there. I don't know if it was too late. I just think it was the time. At that point they were just recycling shit.
Yeah.
And trying to put somebody else over, and that's what happened, basically. So he became like a transitional champion in a sense.
In essence, yeah.
Because they weren't, and at that point. In the game, guys saw the writing on the wall. They're like, "Oh, this ship is sinking.
It's not the well-oiled machine that we thought it was."
Exactly. Guys and girls saw it starting to fall apart, and then Vince took advantage and said, "Give me your Benoit's, give me your Raven, give me your
Guerreros,
Malenko's, and Saturns, the Radicals." Give me your guy. I can make these guys.
Give me Jericho.
Exactly. Y2J. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
The place fell apart, you know? All those guaranteed contracts, and then all of a sudden the inmates started running the asylum. We all know the story.
Yes, we do.
But this was 98. And 98 was still, you know, they were still riding that ship.
I mean, they were still hot in 98, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this crowd is super hot for the product.
So, Benoit sends DDP off for a hip toss. DDP counters it with a DDT. Cubbers gets the 1-2. Then another diamond cutter attempt, but Benoit counters with a backslide. DDP flips him over and hits the diamond cutter for the 1-2-3. 15 minutes, 47 seconds.
Good match.
Solid match. All the steak was here. Very little sizzle, as they say in the business. You know... Well-placed spots, well-placed reversals. You can put this at a... If you were doing a Meltzer rating, you can give it a 4 stars.
Yeah.
3.5, 3.25.
Absolutely.
Right?
My thing about Benoit is when he got you in a certain situation when you were laying the mat and he's looking to the crowd and he puts that thumb to his throat, the crowd lit up, dude. They were like, yo, this motherfucker might actually do it. And then, you know, DDP hits the cutter, and that was it, man. I mean, like, it was a good fucking match. I mean, like, the way the match, like you said, it was all the moves were positioned properly. It was perfect.
All the spots were there.
Oh.
I'll tell you this, too. You want to put somebody over, you put them in a ring with a Benoit.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Triple H about that. Okay? Ask Eddie Guerrero. Ask Perry Saturn. Like, ask... These guys. Ask Kurt Angle. You know, ask these guys. Put him in the ring with the Crippler and see how it goes.
Look what happened to Booker T in 98.
the best of seven.
Yeah.
We should. We're probably going to do that.
Yeah, of course we should. We're probably going to do that. I love the best of seven.
That comes up soon.
And then I think we did the match where whoever won that match won the series, went on to fight Finley.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do that, though. We didn't do
it. I thought we did it.
No, we talked about it. I don't think we did it.
The fact that they did the best of seven, and then they go out to fight Finley for the title?
For the TV title.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Finley was a great
one. That was 98.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We got to do that.
So, you know, again, and I don't want to keep hopping on Benoit, but it was so, I mean, I'm sorry. I do like watching his matches. I don't go out of my way to watch them anymore, but if they're, like today, if they're on, I watch them. I don't say, let's pull out my best of Benoit DVD, which I have. I haven't touched it since he killed all those people and killed himself. I haven't even, like, all I do is acknowledge his matches and his in-ring stuff.
The match that I love, I have the DVD as well, and the match that really I love so much, it was him in Japan, with him and Sasuke, the great Sasuke.
When he was Pegasus?
Yes.
Okay.
That was a great fucking match.
Yeah.
They tore it up.
So now Tony Schiavone announces that due to flight delays, the Giant will not be there to talk about Kevin Nash breaking his neck. Tony and Tanay compliment the championship committee for outlawing Jackknife. Tony wants Bobby to bring the pipe it in when he delivers a fantastic argument for watching the rest of the pay-per-view and ending this cutaway. I don't want to talk to you two anymore. I want to see the most dangerous men in wrestling. I want to see Savage. I want to see Hogan. I want to see Sting. I want to see some people fight like we've seen all evening. I don't want to talk to you two. Now get back to the action, he says. And the action continued with the no DQ match.
I thought this was very short, though.
Macho Man versus Lex Luger. Lex, at this point, was nursing bad ribs.
The ribs,
yeah. He was kayfabe in the tape.
Yep.
So, you know, what you see is what you get with these two. It wasn't, you know, they knew each other. It wasn't a terrible match. Not one of my favorite Macho Man matches at all.
The spot where Liz comes in and kind of stops Luger from putting Macho in the rack.
Yeah, and a dump to the eye.
Yes.
And then the B team comes out, and Mickey J calls for the bell. No contest at 7 minutes, 20 seconds. You're right, too short.
Yeah.
Macho and Luger fight off the NWO. Luger racks Savage finally in a chaos.
And then Hogan stops the crew from like, getting in there to help him out.
He calls the troops off to let Macho Man take a beating and teach him a lesson.
What about that mullet?
Yeah.
Did you see that Scott Norton mullet?
Yeah.
It was sweet.
So now there's dissension in the ranks.
Yeah.
There's, you know, I'm better than you, you're better than me.
There's that, there's the cracks in the NWO are starting to form.
Yes. And there was, at this point, there was no NWO champions on this pay-per-view.
No, there was not.
Until the next match.
Oh.
Okay. So, let me prep. Now, of course, the world title is vacant, but everybody else, this was and NWO is falling apart. The shift now comes to WCW. The title is up, but this, for me, was probably one of the saddest moments in pro wrestling.
I was shocked, bro.
Yeah.
The audacity to even think that the Steiner brothers were fucking break up, dude.
It was so dynamic that the next night on Nitro, guys cut promos on how fucked up it was.
It was.
Flair, Booker T.
Yeah.
All these guys cut promos on how fucked up it was. You have to understand something. When tag team wrestling took a back seat in the late 90s, okay, and I'm talking about WWE and WCW. I'm not talking about ECW or any Ring of Honor or any of those other places. Japan. There was a shift in power. The Road Warriors were no longer the best team in wrestling. They weren't. It was the Steiner Brothers. The Steiner Brothers did what the LOD did in shorter time. Went through the whole world, won all the titles, and cemented themselves as a top tag team. You know, you want to debate me with the Dudley Boys, I'm not a Dudley Boy guy. You guys all know that. I acknowledge all the accomplishments. They're getting into the Hall of Fame. That's great. God bless them. But to me, it's the Road Warriors, the Midnight Express, the fucking Steiner Brothers.
Pretty much all NWA teams, if you think about
it. Okay, and then comes my other favorites.
Correct.
The Eliminators, the Fantastics, you know, Doc and Gordy, whatever. So, WCW Unified World Tag Team Championships, the Outsiders, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, another good tag team in their own right.
I love them. I love the Outsiders.
Yeah, versus the Steiners. And this was the end of the Steiner Brothers.
And here's the thing. A couple months prior, you noticed that things were different with Scotty.
Yeah.
Scotty was having a little bit of an attitude problem and with the team. He wasn't really into the team anymore. And then in the match, like as in the during the entranceway, you could tell that something was up. Like, what the fuck's going on with Scotty? Why is he like such a dick?
Well, you know what's funny, too, is that the reason why nobody ever took it seriously was because Scotty was always a fucking hothead.
Yeah, he was.
And Rick would calm him down and then be the aggressor in the match and start throwing the Steiner lines.
Yeah.
And he was the hot tag and mm-hmm. whatever. So, like, you're shocked, but you kind of saw it coming, but you didn't want, like, I was in denial.
I was shocked, bro.
I was in denial. Like, I kind of saw it coming, but I didn't think he would go NWO. You know, I thought there'd be, like, a feud. You know, well, there was a feud, but...
Yeah.
But, like, for him...
Dude, when he
jacked him...
When he double axe handled him, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Like, everybody... Like, this was, again, for me, one of the saddest moments of pro wrestling. And the crowd...
Was into it.
Yeah.
They got into it.
Yeah, they were fucking pissed. And, like, everybody played a part. Commentators, Dusty, Jax, DiBiase.
DiBiase got fucked up by Steiner and Dusty.
And Dusty, right. So, this was perfect.
My favorite part, though, and both Scotty and Rick are very smart, is when Scott Hall is going to put him up in the Razor's Edge, right? Or the Outsider's Edge, whatever you want to fucking
call
it.
Same thing.
And Scotty couldn't do it. And then... Rick, to his credit, was smart. He played off like he was dead weight. He drops to a knee.
Yeah.
Fucking smart. Then Scotty does it again, puts him up in the Razor's Edge on his shoulder, and then Scott Steiner grabs his foot to make it seem like, oh, I got him this time so you can't get out of the fucking Razor's Edge, to make it seem like he didn't fuck up.
It's unreal.
It drops him. 1, 2, 3. They're your winners. New WCW NWO Unified Tag Team Champions.
Scott Steiner then, DiBiase gets carried out.
Yep.
Dusty comes in the ring. Then, to add insult to injury, he hits Steiner again and then grabs the titles and then hands them to the Outsiders and two-sweets them.
And then, oh, I forgot who said it, but he was like, did you ever think a Steiner brother would hand over the titles to a team?
I think that was Tanay.
Was that Tanay?
Yeah.
I forgot who it was, but I was just like, what?
It was fucked up. For me, I was heartbroken. Legit. Like, I was like, oh, man, he broke the Steiners up. Like... You know, I kind of was in denial. Like, you know, I wasn't as shocked as everybody else was.
I thought it was a fucking, I thought it was a swerve. I thought they were going to do like a double swerve. I thought he would help him get the belts.
Ah.
And then eventually both Steiners would get back together and start, you know, whoop the shit out of the Outsiders. But no, they further cemented the heel turn the next night by having him dress up, look like fucking superstar Billy Graham.
Well, that was the debut of the Big Bad
Booty Daddy. Yeah. Big Papa Pump.
Big Papa Pump was your hookup. Holla.
Oh, my God. He was so nuts. He was nuts.
He embodied NWO.
He did.
You know? Like, he kept that ship afloat.
Cocky.
Him and fucking Bagwell and...
I felt like him, Bagwell, and Norton at one point were like the crew, like the little mini sub.
Well, they were like the cool... Like, NWO, listen, Hogan, Hall, and Nash were synonymous with the NWO.
Correct.
But to keep the boat moving was those guys, yeah. the B guys, you know?
And if you also got to keep in mind, even when it was Hall, Nash, and Six as the original Wolf Pack of the group, that was also another group that kind of held the NWO together. But like I said, we were still shocked. Like, I know I was shocked when I at 14 years old watching this. The Steiner brothers of all teams to fucking break up.
Crazy.
Unreal.
Yeah, one of the... And I... Like, I... When I was watching it today, because I like to watch it now, like, the day of when we do it. I'll watch it once, and then I'll put it on the background while I'm cleaning up. Like, today I was cleaning my room. And I stopped to watch the match. Like, I sat on the bed. I was like, oh, man, the Steiners broke up. Like, it's... You know... again, like, the Steiners were that team. They basically took over for the Road Warriors as the best team in wrestling, you know, at that time, you know?
Yeah.
For me, anyway, it was like, you know, because nobody else was wrestling regularly anymore. Midnight Express were done. It was only, like, them, and that was it, and whoever was in the WWE at the time.
They were, I'll tell you right now, the Steiner Brothers, when I first saw them in the WWF, they became my team, dude. They had won the straps, and was it, and now Scott Steiner owns a Shoney's? I don't even know what that is.
I think it's a restaurant. Oh, but okay. Scott Steiner is also a premier real estate agent in Georgia.
No, I thought it was Rick. Rick was.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Scott Steiner owns the Shoney's. Rick Steiner is the real estate agent in Georgia. And if you follow Rick Steiner on Facebook, he's posting properties all the time.
Good for him. He, by the way, when we saw him in at the ECW Arena,
yes,
he looked great.
He did.
He looked good.
He did good for him. Yeah. So
I can't believe they fucking broke these guys up.
Right? Isn't it?
That sucked.
Right? It's heartbreaking. Just thinking about it, like, this was hard, man.
And then they tried to bring him back together, like, later on, like years later. It just didn't look the same. Because Scotty looked different. Rick looked different. Yep. It just didn't look right. They didn't look right together anymore.
And Rick was never the same after that.
He did pretty well for himself afterwards.
He did okay.
He won the television title.
He did.
And then he won the United States title afterwards.
So he's a two-time television champion.
Correct.
Right.
So tag champion.
He was in with the Varsity Club. He was TV champion, I think.
And I believe he also won the hardcore title at one point. If I could be wrong.
He might have.
That hardcore division was stupid.
The Varsity Club. That was another good team.
That was.
Yeah. Your next match, the main event.
You're so depressed.
I'm because I'm bummed out.
Holy shit, you really are depressed.
Yeah, I'm bummed out.
Dude. I was shocked, but man.
I was bummed out. Because, again, this was like, I was so sick of the NWO at this point.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking 2 years. I'm like, guys, like, it was almost 2 years at this point. It was 2.5 years. One and a half years. I'm like, come on, man. Let's fucking break this up already. Let's get some blood, man. And it was cracks in the armor. They were still pushing Goldberg. Here comes, you know, Sting and Jericho and, you know, DDP.
Yep.
So, anyway. Yep. All right. So, and now you wipe your tears away because now the match for the vacant WCW World Heavyweight Championship. Hollywood Hogan in all of his glory versus the man they call
Sting.
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 I could do this all day.
Sting.
Michael Buffer putting his touch on it.
Fuck him.
Yeah. Really?
Fuck Michael Buffer. You know
the Michael Buffer guy?
I got sick of him. Because you don't want to know something? Even with the cards in front of him, he still used to fuck people's names up. All right, Michael Buffer. I know you're not a big wrestling guy, but at least try to care about your job. Because they were paying you $250,000 an appearance just to announce guys. And it was only one time. It was only the main event. Dick bag.
So, not a terrible match for Hogan and Sting.
No, it was all right. It's fine.
The ending was dope.
Dude.
Yeah, the ending was dope.
Yo. Well, did you expect that when it first happened?
No.
When Macho Man came in there and was like, whack, right with the fucking...
Let me run it down.
Go.
So, Hogan breaks out of the schoolboy for a 1-2. Hogan again argues the count. Shit can Sting. Hogan goes to his routine on the floor, only for Sting to get up with a flurry of two moves. But Hogan ain't having it. Hogan no-sells, gives Sting the low blow. He pounds Sting, but Sting finally no-sells it again. And for another pop, Sting will splash. Another. Sting wants the death drop, but Hogan finagles his way into a horribly contrived, like, fucking...
Kick to the...
Bump the ref.
Yes.
Right. Here comes the B-team. Sting holds him at bay. Here comes Savage. Savage comes out, fucking lays out Hogan.
With the spray can.
Sting covers him for the win at 16:37. Now, of course, they can't believe it. The crowd's going crazy. Sting's the champion. Hogan gets spray painted by Sting. That was, for me, the best part of it.
Yeah.
Okay? If you watched Nitro the next night, Hogan comes out, cuts a crazy promo, challenges Savage for Uncensored, which we'll probably do next month, right? And Savage cuts his promo from the crowd. Brother, 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 brother. He says, he goes, Ian, and when I beat you, they'll know that I'm running the NWO. You ain't kicking me out. I'm just too sweet. And he hold the too sweet. Yeah. Everybody did it, you know. So now it sets up Hogan and Savage with Sting now as a champion. And now the focus is off of Hogan. The NWO is breaking at the seams at this point.
And I believe Sting's next challenger was probably Scott Hall, wasn't he? For Uncensored?
They challenge him on, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Scotty,
they talked about it on the next night on Nitro.
Correct. So you could see that things were starting to turn into shits for the NWO.
This was one of their best pay-per-views.
It is. For 98, it was pretty good.
You could shit can the whatchamacallits, the Disco Inferno for you, and you could shit can the Mongo and Davey Boy. Other than that, solid. Yeah.
Solid pay-per-view.
Very solid.
I give it an 8 out of 10, at least.
I'll throw a 7 at it.
I give it an 8.
8? Okay. It was good. That's fine. That's
it was fair. Good.
Fair.
The storylines were there. I think that they were making fans happy by showing the cracks in the NWO, because they're like, the fans are probably thinking like, when is this NWO storyline going to end? And now they were starting to show cracks in it, and the fans were like, oh, finally, they're going to start breaking these guys up, because enough is enough, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, it was good.
Yeah, 97 was a predominant year for pro wrestling. 98, now you're in full swing of the Monday Night Wars.
Boom, boom, boom. Switching channels.
You channel hopping.
Oh.
You're recording shit. You're fucking... Some people had two TVs.
I know I recorded a lot.
I recorded every Nitro. I watched Raw and then recorded the replay of Nitro.
Yeah.
Every night. So, all right. Well, listen, it was a solid pay-per-view. All the primetime players showed up in the last hour. You know, they... Again, it was well put... The Benoit match with DDP was great.
Fantastic.
And then the whole play with Hogan and Luger, the Steiners breaking up, like, really important shit. Like, it's now, you know, you want to, for any aspiring wrestler or anybody who wants to be a writer or anything, and you want to follow this lead, just watch this card and realize how important it is to tell a good story in the ring.
Yeah, and that's the problem with today, is there's not enough good storytelling in the ring. I mean, I was having a conversation with Shane Douglas on Twitter. About he was posting up something where Chris Candido betrayed him, and that's how Taz won the ECW World Heavyweight Title. I forgot which pay per view it was, and then I told Taz, I was like, dude, I miss ECW, and they did some great shit in the 90s, a lot of good storytelling. And then Shane was like, yeah, man, they don't do it like that anymore. Imagine if they did it.
No, I think there was, well, they did less, they did more with less, those guys. But even in WWF. This was the start of writers and fucking, you know, it wasn't just two guys. It wasn't just McMahon and Patterson. No more.
It was Russo was starting to do scripted promos. And
yeah, I think there was a huge transition because of competition. People keep asking for competition again, but there's no incentive. Like, there's no one really going to challenge WWE at this point. They're a global conglomerate. They have cornered the market. They bought out all of their competition and exploited the other company's competition by making them superstars again. You know, they put Booker T in, they revitalized guys' careers. Then they just took off. Like, be careful what you ask for, because if you're gonna do something like that, be prepared to tell a story. You know, just don't throw two schmucks in the ring and have a 20-minute match and a bunch of kickouts and near falls. And, you know, you can have that. Those guys, they're uber talented. But, I sound like a broken record. I'm sorry. But, you know, the storytelling aspect of it has to come into play. Macho Man told an amazing story.
He did.
With Hulk Hogan. The Steiners told an amazing story. With Scotty and Rick breaking up.
Jericho did it with Hoovy.
Jericho basically cemented his legacy by being an annoying heel, you know, and a funny guy to boot.
Oh, so okay? Funny.
Benoit and DDP. Benoit took DDP to another level. Benoit put him over and realized the better good of the character movement of DDP.
Yes.
So, in all of that, you know, tells a good story. And now, okay, what do I come back with? And for 3 more years, that's what happened. Well, 4 more years, I guess, you won't talk about, I guess.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, man. And
it's a time period that I miss a lot.
And we get to revisit it every week.
Yeah.
And I'm glad everybody enjoys it. What's that?
Double A and I were having the same conversation earlier. Not many guys these days can call it in the ring.
No.
Because it's all being taught.
Right. It's all being taught. It's all being cookie cut. Those guys were organic. They told their own stories. They weren't told. They were only told who wins and who loses.
Yeah.
Those guys, they made their magic in the ring.
Do you think with the current crop of talent right now in the WWE, do you think there's guys on there
absolutely
that can call it?
Yeah. You give me a Randy Orton and a Seth Rollins any day of the week, those guys can basically, and you know, Cena to an extent.
Cena could call shit.
Right.
Do you remember his match with CM Punk on Raw?
What about him and Brock at the fucking...
They fucking destroyed each other.
What was that, 2012?
Yeah, the Extreme Rules right after WrestleMania, they killed each other almost.
So tell me, I mean, it's few and far between, but it's work. I mean, it's doable. It's just there's so much going on now. It's a TV show now. It's not a wrestling show anymore.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is, my man. So that's it.
Unless we have any questions from the peanut gallery.
Yeah, well, it's already after 11. You guys?
Oh, it is?
Yeah, well, you guys have any questions? Well,
shit, it is. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, this is, you know, we had a good night tonight. You know, we don't have a ton. We don't have to be done in 2 hours. We have carte blanche. We always do here on Randy and Radio.
But it's still. But,
you know, no one wants to hear me and Choppy for more than 2 hours. Unless it's like a Christmas show or WrestleMania or something, you know? So it is what it is.
See.
So you ready to get out of here? Or?
Yeah, why not?
All right, let's get out of here. Let's play some music for you. All right. What?
You can go fuck yourself. You're a dick.
And you can choke on these slap nuts.
Oh, fuck you, man. Don't piss me off.
Anyway, thank you everybody in the chat room. Thank you for Matt Squires and Mega Powers for calling in. That was radio gold, as they say in the industry. That's pretty much it, you know. Thank you for everybody hitting us up on Instagram. Hit us up on @TurnbuckleThrowbacks. We're on Twitter, @TBuckleTBacks, @Choppy2984. Go to all the websites, support all our friends. They're doing really good things. Yes. Sunday is Surface Comic Book Show. Monday is Will Morgan Sports Report. Tuesday is The Rant and The Shining Wizards. Shout out to all those guys. Thursday is Rant and Wrestling. Friday we're back here again to open up March. Moving right along.
See.
And I think that's it. Do we have anything else? Anything else going on?
The power of reins compels you.
Believe.
Believe.
In that shirt's awesome, by the way.
Thank you, Carlos, again.
Yes, thank you, Carlos. Shout out to Carlos. And everybody in the chat room tonight, everybody hitting us up on social media, you guys are awesome. That's it for us this week. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a really good time doing this pay-per-view tonight.
Hell yeah.
So, on behalf of my tag team partner, Choppy, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu. Reminding you all to take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clap, don't get arrested, don't say all those bad words. And please, don't fight on social media about fucking politics. Alright? We know we need reform, we know we need structure. I don't need to hear from any fucking armchair quarterbacks. Everybody's a Johnny Cochran all of a sudden. You fucking geniuses.
Did you say cock?
No, Cochran.
Oh, sorry.
Cochran. No. Post pictures of your fucking family, your kids, your pets.
Post pictures of your dick.
No, don't. You can't.
Sorry.
You can't,
no dick pics.
You can't do that.
Sorry.
Okay.
Scrotum?
No.
Taint?
No nudie pics on social media.
Taint is not nudie.
It's nudie. It's wrong. Stop.
Oh, stop.
Stop.
What about a side boob?
Side boob is good.
Oh, men's side boob is not bad.
Side boob is good.
Okay, good.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.